Blog Talk Radio.
History. Put your hands together for Roblo and I.
All right. So welcome back, everybody. Roblo, man, how are you?
Doing good, doing good. How are you doing?
Hey, man, doing good. We got to get right to it. You know, as wrestling historians, we all know that the dominant teams are not two, but three, right? The New Day, the Freebirds, the Shield, 3MB. So we had to bring one more person be here, part of the show. Give it up for my man, Big Q, coming in to be the enforcer.
Oh,
Big
man.
Q, how are
you? I'm doing all right. 3MB, though. You threw the 3MB in there. I'm like, okay. All
yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Maybe I didn't remember them, right?
I know, right?
Hey.
But here's the thing, though, Ice. Look, this is my first time being on the show, so I know for sure that my day one is going to be H.
Okay. Okay. All right, now, and it's funny because actually, Jinder Mahal, you know, probably the hottest thing in wrestling right now, started out at 3MB. And Heath Slater, sometimes I see him at my gym, you know, so I tried to talk to him. I was like, hey, man, I got kids too, but, you know, it didn't go well. But maybe next time, you know, we can, you know, rap about things, maybe get him on the show. But anyway, let's get right into it. First, you know, while we got everybody's attention, let's give out Twitter handles. So, Roblo, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on Twitter to interact with you, brother, and also to learn about the comedy shows you got coming up. We know you're a stand-up comedian.
What's up, guys? You already know. Follow me on Twitter at Richard J. Atkins. That's Richard J. Atkins. A lot of comedy coming up your way. Got a lot of different shows coming up as well. One coming up here soon, actually, tomorrow, Greensboro, North Carolina. I'll be doing a quick stand-up your way.
Okay.
Just come follow, join the community, the sports Twitter family community, over 10,000 followers and counting. We're growing something big here, something big and beautiful, guys. So feel free to follow and enjoy the journey of success.
There you go. All right, so Big Q, where can they find you on Twitter, brother?
They can find me on Twitter at Team Boyd TV. That's TEAMBOYD TV. Same thing for Instagram and all that cool stuff, you know, because we host the dopest live NFL show on all of YouTube. And we got about 2 months
awesome.
before we get cracking with that. So we'll have our divisional breakdown starting in July, counting down 8 weeks until the kickoff of the regular season. So me and my homies, The Glass and JB, we ready to rock, man. So you guys
okay.
Tune in for that and make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel.
All right. And you know I'm an Eagles fan, so, you know, I'm expecting an invite when we get to the NFC East, all right? But big fan of your show.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, so, and you can follow me on Twitter, Kane_ICE, Kane_ICE. As you know, my partner and I, Kane and Ice, do the do a YouTube show now, so big ups and thanks to everybody. We've hit over 6,000 views for 2017, so couldn't do that without you guys. So keep it going for us. We appreciate it. All right, so let's get in this week. You know, of course, got a couple of news and notes off the outside of the ring, I should say. The Rock's gonna be hosting Saturday Night Live this week. Of course, he's out promoting Baywatch. As that movie gets ready to hit theaters, should be a big, big hit. Keeps getting asked about running for president. And I think I just realized that, you know, maybe one reason he keeps entertaining his president thing is to help get more publicity for the movie. But anyway, you guys got any news and notes, things going on outside the ring you want to talk about before we get into this week's happenings on television?
Well, I don't know if you guys pay attention to a lot of the grapples that go on outside of the WWE. But last Saturday, Ring of Honor put on a hell of a show.
Okay.
New Japan. Yeah, it was called War of the Worlds. That was amazing.
Really? Okay. I have not had a chance to see that yet. So is that, can you find it online? I guess a YouTube, or is it like a subscription?
You know how it is with these wrestling fans, man. It's always a way to see these things, man. But if you can find it, watch it. It is amazing, man. Like,
okay.
You know, this whole Bullet Club thing and how they just, you know, dismissed the leader of the Bullet Club and it looked like he's on his way to NXT. They gave him the same treatment they gave AJ Styles around this time last year. So it looked like the same thing is about to happen. So I'm ready for that.
Okay. Have to search my Fire TV, see if I can get that. So what about you, Rablo? What caught your attention this week, brother?
Nothing really major caught my attention, except for just how randomly Raw suddenly got better than SmackDown this week, but we're going to get into that.
Okay, it's not random. Raw is the flagship.
That was very random.
Came out of nowhere.
I
wouldn't say that. SmackDown has been killing Raw as far as product, and this week, I don't know what happened.
All right, first off, the Raw has King Booker, so you know it's big, okay? anyway, so let's get to it. I'm glad you mentioned Raw. So Kurt Angle kicks off the show, brings up the number one contenders match. You know, they actually talk about the Universal title and realize, hey, maybe we should defend this thing and talk about it on TV and quit pretending it doesn't exist. What do you guys think about the competitors they chose to be in the Fatal 5-Way at Extreme Rules?
I mean, on that, I can say it's who else could they possibly have chosen? Now, this thing was kind of scrapped together at the last minute because, you know, the news about Braun Strowman came out and they had to change everything, right? And, you know, and I mean, the players in the match, it's cool, but I mean, we all know what the title's going to end up, though. It's going to be, you know, that whole David versus Goliath, Finn Balor versus Brock Lesnar situation. So, I mean, I'm already kind of looking forward to that.
Right. Yeah, I could see that. And obviously, I think the match will be used to help further advance the Seth Rollins Samoa Joe fight. And, you know, I guess Bray and Roman, I guess, can get into something. Because obviously, I don't think Roman will really get into the title picture until we get to WrestleMania. I think the setup is for him to go over, you know, on the biggest stage possible.
I personally loved it. Bray Wyatt, thank you. WWE, thank you. Because Bray Wyatt, I've been saying this for years. He finally gets the title, and he loses it, of course, to Randy Orton at WrestleMania. But I was so scared with him going to Raw that he was going to, I don't know, go back to being just Bray Wyatt and not really getting any real big events, main events, or any really good shots at the title. And for him to be in that picture, in that match, I love it because you got the Finn Balor, you got the Roman Reigns, you got the Seth Rollins, Samoa Joe. The lineup is beautiful, and this is one of the first Raw exclusive pay-per-views that I can actually say I am excited to see a match. So I like the lineup. I just hope they don't get it wrong. I want something unpredictable, but not nothing stupid. I don't want Roman Reigns, obviously, for obvious reasons. But I wouldn't mind seeing Bray Wyatt or even Finn Balor. Hell, give me Samoa Joe.
You wouldn't know what my problem is with Bray Wyatt. I love what happened, you know, with him on SmackDown and the way he rose to prominence and, you know, went into the Elimination Chamber, came out with the championship. I was just like you. I was like, this is great. It's about time that Bray Wyatt get his due. But this is the issue I have with Wyatt. The same issue I had with Daniel Bryan. The chase for the title is always exciting with those guys. But at the minute they get it, they become the most boring, bland thing ever. You know, and that's my problem with Bray Wyatt.
Man, I'm going to have to disagree with you here, man, because you tell me what Bray Wyatt does wrong, even when he did have the title. He could talk on the mic, and we know he's phenomenal in the ring, no pun intended. I'm always saying phenomenal. But we know how good he is overall, and when he did have the title, even though he barely wrestled, even though WrestleMania was a complete disaster with that match, Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt segments was awesome.
I agree. I 100% agree. Here's the thing. I don't think it's Bray's fault. I mean, just look at the programs that happened after he won the title. It was just really a transition to get the title back on Randy Orton. You know, it's like they didn't give him nothing to do.
Well, To me, I like Bray Wyatt's character. I think there's a fundamental flaw, though, is I think in today's day and age, you can't have a supernatural character as part of the show every week because there are only so many supernatural things he can do. And he can't be booked like a regular wrestler, but then when he gets beat as much as Bray Wyatt has, you know, it sort of takes away from this supernatural feelings and
it
thoughts,
was.
You know,
I had something for that. Like I was doing the WrestleMania, the post WrestleMania stuff, and you know, and especially after the stuff that went down with the Undertaker, and I was thinking to myself, okay, well, the Undertaker's done, and the character's done, and we don't really want to mess with it too much. I mean, it's a legendary character and gimmick. We don't really want to mess with it too much. But what if some weird stuff went down where the Undertaker became like Bray's, like you know, master or something like that, and he kind of, you know, slowly kind of filtered his energy and his powers down to Bray, just to elevate Bray a little bit, you know, give him a rub from a legendary person like the Undertaker, and then Undertaker, after about 6 or 7 months, Undertaker can go away, and now we got Bray as the new Undertaker. I mean, I think it can work.
And I can see that.
I like that. I definitely like that idea. Just playing off of what you said, though, what if, you know how Undertaker was recreated as American Badass, do something like that with Bray Wyatt. Not to that extreme, but that way he's not just locked into that one character where you got all these worms and all it is. Because Bray Wyatt,
right,
in my opinion, after Kevin Owens, Bray Wyatt is the best overall ring and mic, in my opinion. I don't know anybody who could go toe-to-toe with him. I'm sorry.
I bet Joe can go toe to toe with him on that microphone. Joe is magic on the mic. I'm not a fan of like Joe's in ring style. So, I mean, I like it, but you know, he's mixing too much stuff up for me. But on the mic though, Joe is the man. Now I think he can go. A program between Joe and Wyatt, the microphone stuff. Oh my god.
Yeah. Well, and physically, you know, that would be a match with a lot of impact, right? So that would definitely be interesting. Let's see, Bray Wyatt, you know, it's kind of weird. You have a cult leader without a cult. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I just don't understand the booking with him sometimes.
I personally don't have a problem with that anymore because he was shadowing those guys. And now you get to see Luke Harper and Eric Rowan, that you get to see these guys actually show that they have talent. I would have never expected Luke Harper to be as good as he is individually as a wrestler and, you know, the little things, he's getting the little pops from the crowd. So, I mean, that helped those guys out, but it did really hinder Bray Wyatt and his image as well.
And
so I agree with that.
Did you see Rowan on Talking Smack last night? Oh my God! If you haven't seen that section of the show, Rowan came out there with like a burlap bag full of masks and stuff, and he was like scaring the crap out of Renee and Shane.
Oh, really?
It was really good.
I had to go back and watch it.
And I was so surprised that it was Rowan that was doing this. I didn't know he had a personality like that. But yeah,
right.
I agree with him. Rowan and Harper, they are shining right now.
All right, so. Let's move on to the Hardys, tag team champions. Been back for a couple months. Of course, a big surprise at WrestleMania. They're still locked in a feud with Sheamus and Cesaro, who seem to be, dipping into the Cam Newton, Kanye West closet for outfits now. I don't know exactly what's going on with those two. What are you guys' thoughts so far about how the Hardys have been used since returning?
Oh, I'll take the floor. Listen, I think, you know, they're doing the traditional return run. I mean, you know, on the nostalgia, just like Sheamus and Cesaro, they're pretty much telling you exactly what's going on. And, you know, you have to get that part done first. I mean, because, you know, a person like me, I watch as much wrestling as I can. I know about the broken Matt Hardy. I know what they did in Ring of Honor and TNA and all these other different places. But the WWE audience, for the most part, does not. And so we, the people who kind of know what's going on, we're waiting on the real Hardys to show up and not the WWE-branded Hardys, right? So I've not been impressed with the run that they had, but I know why they're doing it the way they're doing it. I'm just waiting on them to move Jeff to SmackDown so Matt can go broken, and then everything will be right in the world.
Okay, so why don't you tell us?
Delete!
Why don't you tell us real quick, for those who aren't, I'm somewhat familiar with it, you know, and I saw some of the like matches they shot at their compound or whatever, you know, which more like, I guess, a movie where it's kind of edited. But why don't you just explain to us the broken concept?
Well, it was weird. They had a beef with each other, you know, and then, you know, Jeff jumped on Matt from way up high on some stairs. And it just wasn't right after that. And that's what happened.
Okay. Gotcha.
And just to go off of what he was saying, I'm the same way with him. Like, I'm waiting for what we wanted the Hardys back for, you know. I was so excited when they, you know, when we was told that they was coming back. You know, of course, there was rumors. And then, you know, they showed up on WrestleMania. Okay, now that they're here,
with
let's
40
go ahead and use
pounds.
Those gimmicks yep. that they had going on. You know, the gimmicks was great and it worked. And I think, in my personal opinion, those are the best gimmicks in the Hardy Boys' careers. It went over so well with the crowd over there in Impact Wrestling. Let's go ahead and bring it to the WWE. Let's stop the old Hardys. Let's go delete.
Well, you know, they can't really do that, though, because, you know, like, you know, TNA and Anthem are kind of holding the gimmick ransom right now. So, and Vince McMahon, they're working on it.
I was about to say, because I thought they had already signed the license over to go ahead and use that gimmick now, and they were just waiting on the right timing.
I mean, that could be the case. I just know that in the beginning they weren't able to do it, you know, and that kind of thing. So, you know, during WrestleMania time, you know, leading up to it, you know, I heard all the rumors, and I was like, you know, and I knew about the Ring of Honor little short contract that they signed after the TNA debacle or whatever. I really didn't think it was going to happen. And to see Vince McMahon and his people pull that off at WrestleMania the way they did was just – it was amazing.
Yeah, I read somewhere they didn't even leave their hotel until WrestleMania had already started, just to make it less likely that somebody would spot them, you know, to make the surprise, you know, a true surprise. Obviously, when you're in a stadium, you know, outdoor stadium, so many people, it's kind of hard just to sneak in if you're coming in with everybody else, but – all right, so let's go on to one exciting matches. I think some people that maybe a little bit underutilized lately, Sasha Banks versus Alicia Fox. Alicia Fox gets the clean win over Sasha. So I know Big Q and his wife celebrated Monday night after she beat Sasha Banks.
Now, she's wife number three. She, you know, you got to make sure you put her in a proper place, okay?
Oh, okay.
She's not above Erykah Badu, and she's not above the real wifey, okay?
Okay,
so she's wife number three. Okay. But to see her go over clean, this is her first singles win since 2015. That's remarkable. Like, I love to see her come out, and I know how skilled she is. I know nobody can bump like she can, and you know, and I mean, like, she is so good at what she, like, the way they have her losing all the time, it was disgusting, and it was a disgrace to me. You know, I don't know if you guys remember when she went on that championship run, and she was destroying everybody, and it was very believable. And the next thing you know, she lost matches for the next 2 years. It was sad. You know?
Yeah, well, because for a while, it was all about Paige and everybody that came after her, right? Paige, Charlotte, Becky, you know, Sasha, Bailey, you know, it's all about the new ladies. Alexa. So it is good to see Alicia get a little shine, you know, on SmackDown. You see Natalya doing her thing. So it is good to see the established women stars doing their thing. especially now without the with the Bella sisters gone. I think that kind of opens the door for some of the more wrestling oriented ladies to get, you know, get time. Let's see, what else do we have from Raw? I think my favorite thing was Titus, man. Titus getting some heat, helping Apollo get some personality.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah,
I think
I've said it from the jump. I cannot stand Apollo Crews. I think he's a cheesy Bobby Lashley at the most. And, you know, if Titus O'Neil could do it, thank you goodness, because Apollo Crews has so much talent, but the cheese that he delivers kills me every day on the inside, every single time I see him on the segment. It just reminds me so much of Bobby Lashley. Thank you.
Yeah.
So what you think about this little dose of personality, though? Like, you know, you got Enzo trying to do the selfie thing, and, you know, and, like, you know, Apollo was just like, what's up, man? Like, you know, I wasn't expecting that, but I thought it was dope.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting it either, and I thought it was great as well. I'm happy they're doing something, because at the moment he was seeming like a lost cause, and bringing Titus O'Neil in and letting his character get some type of shine, I like it.
Oh, no doubt. Because, and to your point, right? Apollo physically has a lot of talent, but I think, I don't know if it's his character or if he just naturally didn't have sort of a vicious type charisma, but, you know, just stand there smiling all the time, you know, not usually what you see in a wrestling show, right? So I was glad to see Titus come out there, talk some trash, you know, especially considering, you know, going up against Enzo and Cass, who are fan favorites. You know, of course, the fans, the kids especially, are going to boo Titus when he's clowning them, help him get some heat. So, you know, to me, it was perfect. And it was, I think, to you guys' point earlier in the show, it was definitely a sort of SmackDown-ish type thing where you take some people who maybe are underappreciated and put them in a position to succeed. You know, that's the one thing I saw on Raw this week that they haven't done much of lately, that SmackDown does do a better job of, is finding ways to make the nobody wrestlers succeed. All right, so let me get to a couple listener questions before I forget. So first one, I got something from, hopefully I'm saying this right, Smithy Mandla from South Africa. So thanks for interacting with us on Twitter. I hope you're enjoying the show. And tell your friends in South Africa about us. Now, I can't promise that we're going to do any live events in South Africa. You know, we need a bigger sponsor for that. But his question was, why does Brock Lesnar take so much time off? He's the Universal Champion, after all, and WWE Universe wants to see a fighting champ. I think the main reason is Lesnar doesn't like to travel a lot, and so he was kind of in position to sign a contract where he only has to work so many dates. But I definitely understand his point. What do you guys think?
This is one of my biggest pet peeves with the WWE right now, is getting part-timers and then having them get the Universal title and kind of being in a stuck situation. This is why I didn't want Goldberg to beat Kevin Owens, because I knew the only person who they would allow to beat Goldberg was Brock Lesnar. And with Strowman now being hurt, it kind of makes me a little bit more excited. Of course, I don't wish injuries on anybody, but Strowman, he probably would have beat Brock Lesnar, and he would have been another unstoppable force, which we would have never seen a Universal title being held to his glory. I hate the part-timey thing. I hate that Brock Lesnar has the title. It makes the title completely vanish from Raw. We haven't seen it, I don't know how long. I forgot what it looks like, just to go along with the stupid name of Universal title. So, and I'm not a fan of it. I cannot stand it whatsoever.
Wow, that was tell us how you really said. But here's the thing, I think the whole birth and the lineage of that title is off to a bad start. Now, don't beat me up for this, but I just don't think Finn Balor being the initial title holder was a good way to set it off. And then, you know, look at the title holder since the best champion that title has ever seen was Kevin Owens, right? Everybody else who's had it shouldn't have had it. And Brock Lesnar, like, I know they try to make it seem like, oh, he's a special attraction and we're going to use Brock Lesnar to sell out the big shows and not the small shows. And I get that. But at the end of the day, they let Brock Lesnar do what he wanted to do. They let him sign this contract so he don't have to do anything. And for them to keep putting the belt on him is ridiculous to me. I have no idea. I mean, they lose so much money. But the good side of it, though, is we see the Intercontinental title, which I got a beef with right now. But we see that being elevated a little bit. And that's good. But, you know, your main belt should be on the show. It should be there every week.
Right. If you want it to feel big, you want to make this belt a big thing, and you want to sell replica belts. And, you know, I think part of it is Lesnar gets mainstream media attention. Lesnar can get on ESPN. Lesnar's going to get, you know, Fox Sports. You know, he's going to get attention that most wrestlers wouldn't get because, you know, his legitimate athletic background and UFC career. All right, so I'm glad you mentioned Intercontinental title. What were you guys' thoughts about The Miz and Dean Ambrose? Seems like these two can't get away from each other.
And that's what I'm upset about. So I'm upset with the whole superstar shake. I thought it was executed poorly. I thought the decisions that they made were not – okay, I'm going to give you some examples. You're going to take Miz and Ambrose off SmackDown, who were just a few months ago fighting over this title on SmackDown, and bring them to Raw and do the same exact thing. You're going to take Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho off Raw, who were just fighting over the title, and have them come over and do the exact same thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
It makes no sense.
As if the same people aren't watching both shows, right?
The point is to create fresh matchups and fresh feuds and things like that, and a lot of first evers and all that. You got the same people fighting for the same thing.
And that's another one of my biggest pet peeves as well, too, because I thought Miz and even Dean Ambrose, and I'd be the first to admit I'm not really a big Dean Ambrose fan. I hate his gimmick, his character. I feel like he's so cheesy as well.
Cringeworthy.
But Miz, in my opinion, was doing awesome on SmackDown. He was doing so good.
He and AJ
Styles was carrying that show. The promos, the segments he was cutting was brilliant. And then you bring him to Raw, and it's not the same. I think, for one, he should have definitely stayed on SmackDown, because now he's back to the old Miz.
Yeah.
I gotta agree. And, you know, that was a move that I didn't like. I am so glad they didn't touch Seth Rollins. I'm so glad they didn't touch AJ Styles. I'm so glad they didn't move some of those guys. I don't like the fact that they moved Bray. I don't like, you know, El Generico, a.k.a. Sami Zayn, coming to SmackDown, because I just don't like it. I mean, I've never been a Sami Zayn fan, and the reason why his name is El Generico, because he's about as generic as a piece of white bread. You know what I mean?
You don't like Sami Zayn?
Yeah, I got into this last week. Big Q. Yeah.
How did you like Sami Zayn, man? He can wrestle.
Boring. Listen, he can wrestle.
Look at the matches he put on at NXT.
You're absolutely right. Now, you know how you got guys who are just good, and they're so good that they're boring. Like, AKA, like a Randy. I was a big Randy Orton fan back in the day when he used to have some bite in his fangs. He's boring now, but he's awesome. Like, you can't tell me he ain't one of the best, the top five in the world. But come on, he's boring.
If you give Sami Zayn the type of platform that they've been trying to give Dolph Ziggler for I don't know how long, you will see greatness. You will see sales. You will see everything. Because Sami Zayn, he has it. He even has the crowd behind him. And we all know this man can wrestle.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm not going to take that from him. It's just that when I'm watching him on the screen, he does not do anything. I'm just like, can we get past the segment, please?
Watching him on the ring
is a different story. Watching him in the ring is a different story. Like, you know, I can watch him wrestle all day, but it's just his character is just bland. You know, it's El Generico.
He's gonna need to really get over. He's gonna need to do like one of those. I hit rock bottom, and then something happens. It sets him off, and he starts a climb towards something. You know, whether it's a long climb to a championship or something.
With Braun Strowman, though, and it didn't quite work out that way. I mean, we saw that, and it still didn't.
It's got to be – that's the thing. It's got to be something longer and bigger than that. Like, it's got to be like a 6 or 7 month program where he finally gets a belt, gets a championship or something. Now, kind of like Daniel Bryan, but to your point earlier, after he gets it, it's probably going to be pretty boring, right? Because,
right.
like, where do you go from there?
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately. But he obviously is very talented, and maybe his role is just to be one of those guys to make other guys look good, you know?
I don't think they brought him in for that. I mean, he made a name on the scene out there. He did a lot of stuff at a lot of other promotions. He is at a status where he should be treated like a top guy. I just think that he needs to develop his character. He's been the same guy everywhere he's been, except for when he was wearing the mask and, you know, PWG or wherever he was wearing that mask at, you know?
Okay. All right. So let's get on to Finn Balor versus everybody hates Roman Reigns. I'm sorry. Everybody over 15 seems to hate Roman Reigns. Maybe that should be his nickname.
Why you hate Roman Reigns, man?
No, I don't hate him. I'm just saying, in general, the internet,
fan
community hates him, is what I'm saying. I think he's entertaining. Some of the stuff is a little cartoonish. You know, the fact that he's still wearing Shield gear. You know,
right. I'm gonna tell you what I find amazing about Roman Reigns. This is what I find amazing about. It ain't even about Roman Reigns. It's about the fans more than anything. When the Shield was running roughshod over the WWE. The person that was the most captivating, the one that most people were drawn to was Roman Reigns. And he ain't changed nothing about that. And people hate him for it now. I don't understand.
As a longtime Roman Reigns hater, I would have to say the reason I absolutely hate Roman Reigns has nothing to do with Roman Reigns. It's more of the WWE pushing him down our throat, and when he does get the opportunity, his mic skills, in my opinion, isn't up to par.
You're right.
I think a lot of people don't like Roman Reigns because, yes, he's talented, yes, he's this, and yes, he could be a face, but we don't know if he's face or heel. His mic skills isn't as good as guys like Bray Wyatt, Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, even though I hate Dean Ambrose, Dolph Ziggler, yet he's constantly getting pushed over these guys. I think that's where the hates come from, because there's more talent than Roman Reigns, yet Roman Reigns is the guy beating Undertaker at WrestleMania.
You're right. And you know what? And that's your point is very legit. I was just joking around. I'm just saying, because when I see Roman, I see the same Roman from 3-4 years ago. It's just that he don't got his boys with him. Like, he ain't changed at all. You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
that's part of the reason. I think it's part of the reason some people hate him, because, like, okay, we're in a day and age now where, you know, we know a lot more. We know the background, all that stuff, right? Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, right? They came up through the indies and honed their craft. And, you know, then they go to NXT. They all come out with this gimmick. They're the Shield. And then when they break up, Rollins and Ambrose have to go their own way and kind of reinvent themselves. Whereas Roman Reigns gets to keep rocking the same gear. You know what I mean? Keep doing the same thing. I think most people are like, oh, man, like, you know, why is he so privileged? Why, you know?
Right, I get it. You know, I don't mess with people about rubbing up.
Just change his interest music. I cannot stand it. Dun 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 dun. Dun, dun. Oh my goodness!
Wow.
That, and you know,
Roman Reigns, he could wrestle. That guy could wrestle. His fears off the charts. I mean, this guy, he has the talent in the ring. I think it's more of almost like Apollo Crews. He's cheesy when he talks. I think I was talking to somebody else about this. I forgot who it was. But give him somebody to talk for him. Give him a Paul Heyman. Just let him be a bad guy, and it will work perfectly.
You're barking up that John Cena tree right now. I don't know if you want to go there.
I'm with it.
Now, for me, and I know this might sound really ridiculous, but when they were the Shield and they were wearing chest protectors and stuff, it seemed to make sense, right? Like they were a SWAT team or something. When he's by himself wearing it, it looks really stupid. Okay? I just can't understand why is he wearing that? You know, maybe I'm missing something. all right. Let's see. What else do we have happen on Raw? Oh, you know, Goldust flips on R-Truth, man, which is surprising. You know, I was glad to see them get a little shine. Almost thought they were about to be the number one contenders for the tag team titles, of course, the week before. And then Goldust flips out and beats up R-Truth. You know, like I said, Raw definitely took some pages out of the SmackDown book this week by
I got a feeling that now I do think it's intriguing that they turn Goldie heel in that Truth, right? You know, I don't know why I'm thinking about it this way, but I just felt like I've seen a heel Truth before and I like it, you know, because he's still funny. And but you know, he was super. Remember, he had the cigarette, he was smoking a cigarette and stuff out there, like burning people with a cigarette and all that. I mean, I like that, but I was just like, okay, well, you're gonna turn one of them heel, you're gonna go Goldie, and I don't know, it make Truth look like the victim. I don't know if I feel
yeah.
that too much, you know what I mean?
Well, and for me, my favorite version of R-Truth was when he was feuding with John Cena and he was doing the little Jimmy thing, you know. And then, of course, they went too far then, and little Jimmy kind of became this imaginary character and all this other stuff, you know. But when he was, like, you know, pouring drinks on fans and, you know, like people wearing John Cena shirts and all that stuff, you know, to me, that was perfect. And if they, you know, if they really wanted to, they could sort of use him, you know, they could kind of redo that gimmick with like these kids wearing Roman Reigns stuff. Right. And, you know, then have Roman just come up and, you know, Superman punch him in the crowd or something, you know, when he pours a drink on a kid or something, you know,
yeah.
I don't know, but I mean, it's just good to see them get to do something other than just some backstage silly skits. You know what I mean?
But Robert, what you think? You think that this is okay? We know it's a match gonna come out of this, right? But is it just the one match? I mean, is this like Goldie's like last run before, you know, he hang him up? And I mean, it's about time for Truth to hang him up too. You know, them dudes been around for a while.
I think this is one of those. This is, you know, one more time type matches. I like it because, you know, I think the tag team really wasn't going anywhere. I think they probably should have moved to SmackDown. I would have liked to see that, but I agree with you. I would rather see R-Truth heel than Goldust. I didn't understand that move at all.
Right.
But yeah, I think this is it for Goldust. I think he's going to hang it up, and I think R-Truth would too. I really didn't like him as a tag team. I really thought they tried to force the whole Booger T and Goldust type thing. I just didn't like it. It was too
But you know, maybe they thinking, you know, let's do it this way because these two dudes, you know, especially with Goldust as the heel, they can take this thing to some ridiculous levels. You know what I mean?
Well,
so,
and also, you know, sometimes I think some of these type of things happen because they're gonna do a house show run, right? They're probably wrestling each other for the next 2 or 3 months at every house show that Raw brand does or something, you know, because maybe with Strowman hurt, they had to move people around. It's like, oh, well, we need something from TV to go to these house shows to get people excited. And so maybe that could be, you know, the match. Two people everybody recognizes, you know, they understand why they're fighting each other as opposed to being a tag team now. You know, I don't know. Let's flip over to SmackDown.
Come on, put some respect on the best brand.
Well, actually, he can say that. For SmackDown to be a go-home show for Backlash, I mean, the Raw did a fantastic job this week. I'm not going to take nothing from them, but I was so disappointed in SmackDown. I was listening to the show last week, and you know, I heard y'all going back and forth about it, and I was like, nah, man, you're wrong. SmackDown is the better show. And then, you know, I'm watching SmackDown like what is this, the go-home show? What's going on?
And you're like, man, I told me I should have listened. I got you. You know, but hey, they do have my new favorite guy, Jinder, on the show, doing his thing. All right, so Rob Lowe, I believe you had a couple of Twitter questions that you sent me here. Let me just check that out. Okay, Jinder Mahal is possible next WWE champ. So, what are you guys' thoughts about Jinder Mahal? If he possibly beat Randy Orton and taking the belt,
I'm nervous for Jinder. I really am nervous for Jinder because he's on this, like, he's at a turning point of his career right now. Like, and it ain't even really in his hands, right? I think he got the look. I think they did a really good job with him stealing that title, running around with it, taking pictures with it, you know, making people think, oh, he may have a chance to win this title and everything, you know, just getting a good look at him or whatever. And so, you know, it got me thinking about it. And I was like, well, then we're talking about Randy Orton. And this dude come out of obscurity, and now he done beat AJ Styles. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, I don't know. But I'm nervous because I think that they pumping him up, and, you know, you're getting certain people are starting to get behind him. Like me, I'm behind Jinder. I want him to win.
Yeah.
But I feel like they're going to stick it to him, man. And, you know, and it's, I don't know. I don't. I'm nervous.
This one baffles me so much because, you know, we as WWE fans, I feel like we are spoiled sometimes, and we always say, "Hey, we want the unpredictable." Well, we got it, and I don't think we was ready for it. No one expected this at all. And now that he's in the title picture, he's here, and it's like, gosh, this guy is like the Ellsworth of wrestling.
If I saw Ellsworth at a club, I wouldn't, you know, nothing about him would intimidate me where I wouldn't. If I ran into Mahal or a dude built like that in the club, I would not mess with that dude, okay? Like, he looks vicious.
I'm not talking about as look. I'm talking more of, like, just style and,
Static.
You know, character-wise.
Gotcha.
Right. Okay. On that note, I'd have been just as pissed as you if this had been El Generico, Sami Zayn in the spot versus Jinder Mahal. I'd have been upset about that, but in this case, I'm cool with it.
Which I could understand. And the thing that's making me more lean towards liking Jinder is not Jinder, it's not WWE. It's the fact that Randy Orton has been so boring as champion. It's
exactly.
Like, well, let's go ahead and get the belt off his hands.
Absolutely.
And the only person who could do it is Jinder Mahal. Now, what I'm hoping for, personally, is that Jinder does win. However, of course, Rusev comes back and he gets the title. I can see Rusev carrying that belt.
Yes.
I don't see Jinder carrying the belt.
Right. You know what? I agree with that. I think that's probably, and like, actually, I was thinking about it, and that's the kind of direction that I think that I'm feeling like it's going to go in. Let's go ahead and give Jinder the belt. Let's go ahead and get that little thing out of the way so we can continue this land of opportunity situation and you know, keep that thing up. But it's really about, you know, preparing Rusev to do it, and you know, he looks more like a champion. He got his pedigree is a little bit better and all that kind of stuff. So, and people will believe Rusev as champion over Jinder Mahal, but I think Jinder can win. I think he can.
Well, that, and you have the natural storyline of, hey, you were just my lackey 2 months ago in Raw. Now you're the WWE champion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, let's do this and let me take that belt off of you. But I like what they're doing because, I like the traditional heel stuff. And of course, I think it translates a lot better now that they're back in America with the whole, you know, and I guess we could say a little bit racist in a way. Right. He's got the, he's got his little Singh brothers who kind of remind me of J&J Security from Seth Rollins' championship run.
I like that. That was
right.
Good.
Oh yeah, that was the best. That was the best version of Rollins to me.
Yeah, that was good.
Since he came up, but anyway, I see it. I can see it because, I mean, physically he looks the part. Jinder looks the part. And then you got these two short dudes beside him, so he looks like he's 7 feet tall on TV.
Yeah,
he looks vicious. And I recently listened to a podcast he was on with Chris Jericho, and he talked about how when he was in 3MB and stuff, and he just lost motivation, and he was just, you know, basically just showing up to work and was depressed, and you know, wasn't working out and things the way he should have been, and then of course ends up losing his job, and decided to get into like real estate and other things, and just said, you know, let me just start working out again and get myself in shape. And then WWE happened to call him because they're looking for more Indian wrestlers, and you know, things just took off from there.
But you know, here's the thing though, you know, you got a couple different kind of people who work in the WWE, right? You got dudes like Santino Morello and you know, R-Truth and people like that who just kind of there to be filler and that kind of thing. And they don't really look at their career like, oh, I want to, you know, be talked about. Like, they don't think about their Hall of Fame legacy or nothing like that. Then you got other guys, AJ Styles and Seth Rollins. And these guys got specific goals that they want to accomplish. I think, you know, especially when Jinder was talking about being in 3MB, like, yeah, that was fun for a minute. I mean, you know, it's a way to get my foot in the door, but I want to do something with my career. I don't want to be a clown, like, all the time. You know, like the new day, individually, all three of those dudes got championship pedigrees, right? They can go on and do, and I feel like Kofi has been done wrong since the day he showed up. But Big E should have been champion by now. And I hate what they're doing with the New Day. Like I'm a big New Day fan, But Lord have mercy, let's do something different with that.
Well,
that,
and also I think the New Day, to me, the New Day feels like too much Xavier Woods. You know what I mean? I feel like his personality is sort of taking over the New Day. And you know, Big E to me should be this big butt kicking machine. He should not be this, you know, goofy, you know, dancing buffoon at times, but you know,
but
it's just my personal.
He is funny, but he still put a hurt nose on people sometimes, though.
But to your point, he can't be champion acting like this.
Big,
you know what I mean?
He's way too talented in the ring and in mic to not have his own type of belt. Same for Kofi Kingston. I feel like Xavier Woods could do great with the cruiserweights.
Absolutely.
I feel like they need to be split up because Kofi could definitely – I could see him being Intercontinental Champion. I could see Big E being in a Universal title picture or somewhere where gender is. I could see Xavier Woods fighting against the King – what's his name? I'm having a brain fart here. The King of the Cruiserweights.
Yeah. Neville,
yeah. I can see him fighting the Kings of the Cruiserweights. I can see him, you know, in these matches, them in those matches. I feel like New Day was just dragged out to the point where they was hosting WrestleMania and not even wrestling.
You know, we'll see what happens with those guys. Maybe a quick shout out to some of our people on Twitter. TK, thank you for the Jinder Mahal question. Let's see. Josh asked about Strowman and with the merchandise. You know, do you think merchandise sales are going to get hurt with Strowman being out for extended period of time? I don't know. I mean, him being hurt, obviously not a good thing for him physically. But I do think maybe him being away for a little while might help add to the special attraction because every week he was doing something else physically impossible. And eventually you're going to run out of things. You know, he's flipping over ambulance, he's breaking the ring, you know, so what was he going to do next, right? So now at least you get a while to let that die down and sort of build up the legend of Braun. And, they keep showing him on TV and stuff. So I think they'll still sell plenty of Braun Strowman gear, because he's just so big and so recognizable that I don't think that'll be a major issue.
Well, the Braun Strowman timetable is a lie, right? You know what I'm talking about?
Braun Strowman.
No, okay, so WWE is reporting that he ain't coming back for at least like 6 to 8 months. And it's more like, four to 6 weeks.
Oh.
Right, yeah, you know.
Right.
So,
okay.
You know, they just try to pump him up. So when he come back, he look like a beast when he come back.
Right. Okay, he beat all projections, right? Okay, the John Cena treatment. I got you. Okay,
I'm personally happy they did that because, like I was saying last week, Braun Strowman. I don't know if he's necessarily good for the WWE at the moment because you have that much of an unstoppable force, you know. Then the other characters get lost. So with him being out now, you get to see this fatal 5-way match that we probably wouldn't have had if he was still here. So I personally don't mind it.
Good point.
Yeah.
All right. One more question. Jabari Mitchell, thanks for hitting us up. And also, just remind everybody, hit us up on Twitter. Use the hashtag CYDT. Can you dig that? CYDT. And interact with us. All right. So his question was, what's your thoughts on the current state of women's division in WWE? So I guess we talked briefly about it with Raw. So let's talk about SmackDown, and then that can roll us into talking about what went down on SmackDown this week. Of course, you got the Queen, you got Naomi, you got Natalya, you got Becky, you got a lot of talent, I think, on the women's side in SmackDown.
It's a weird dynamic going on right now with SmackDown. Like, I thought the lineup they had before the shakeup was fine the way it was, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I know everybody wants a hand. You know, they feel like Charlotte can do this and Charlotte can, to a certain degree, I understand. You know, and it's also that Charlotte versus Naomi matchup that kind of got everybody salivating, right? Which I was so nervous that they were going to mess up a couple weeks ago, but it turned into something else, which is cool. So I don't know. This welcoming committee thing, I think is interesting. It kind of keeping, everybody kind of working or whatever. But I don't know, man. I liked it the way it was before. You know, without Alexa Bliss, like Alexa Bliss made SmackDown good. You know what I mean? And she ain't there now. And I don't know. I don't like it, man.
Well, physically, I like the matchups better with Charlotte on SmackDown because the women seem to physically match up better with her. On Raw, you had Sasha and Bayley. They're very small, very slight. And so next to Charlotte, you know, who looks like this Amazon athletic beast, you know, it just harder to buy in. But, you know, with Becky and Tamina, you know, they just look like they belong in a ring together with Charlotte. Now,
I agree with that. But what I would have done, I would have left Charlotte on Raw because you need to have longer segments on Raw because the show is longer. And Charlotte is great with that, with her, you know, spot on imitation of her father, right? They do good promos, and she, you know, honestly, she's been kind of mute since she came to SmackDown. I would have instead of Charlotte, I would have brought Nia over because she's the one who needs the push. She should be rocking that belt right now, right? You know what I mean? But you know, and that she's wasting away on. I haven't even seen her on Raw in like, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. So I don't know what's going on with her.
Well, now she's made herself Alexa's best friend or something, right? Well, she did, and then she kind of disappeared, but. I don't know. That's weird.
I'm just waiting for my babe Becky Lynch to get her spotlight back that she deserves.
With Charlotte on the same roster, I doubt that's ever gonna happen.
I think Becky Lynch and Charlotte could put on matches like Charlotte and Sasha Banks had. I think the potential is definitely there.
Yeah, I don't know. But I think to Big Q's point, I don't like this babyface Charlotte. You know. Heel Charlotte was a lot better. I mean, I think people really hated her. You know what I'm saying?
The daughter of the dirtiest player in the game. Don't believe the hype. Don't do it.
No. All right. So let's get into it. SmackDown, Jinder Mahal versus AJ Styles, which, you know, a few months ago would have sounded like a squash match. You know, actually turned out to be a good match, and Jinder came out on top, of course. Were you guys surprised to see that happen?
I wasn't surprised. I was disappointed.
Interfered to make it happen.
Right. I was more disappointed that this was more about Kevin Owens and AJ Styles than it was about Jinder Mahal, right? And I know, like, the big story is, oh, people upset because, you know, this dude who came out of nowhere ain't worthy enough to get a 1-2-3 over AJ Styles. And, you know what? I get it, but... You know what I mean? Like, they don't, like, the storytelling here wasn't about Jinder. Jinder was just a player in the game. This was more about Kevin Owens and, you know, and AJ. So,
right. Bring more heat to their match.
I look at it like this. It was a different move, I could say, but Ellsworth beat AJ Styles before, so hey.
All right. So, yeah, that's a good point. Ellsworth beat him a couple times, right?
Yeah.
Good point. All right. So, you know, that's part of the reason it's called Whackdown. So, speaking of, you know, the greatness of SmackDown and what makes it so awesome, you know, Breezango, you know, takes on the Colognes, who I guess they dropped the Shining Star's name.
After the shakeup, they were hardcore. After
right.
That. Yeah.
Right. So I'm kind of glad to see them get away from the kind of little stereotypical stupid hustling timeshare gimmick they had, which is very odd.
That was pretty lame. That was
right. Like, let's focus on the fact that they're from a wrestling family, you know, use their last name, right? Gives them some credibility, let them be vicious. So I like that. And then, of course, Breezango, you know, who I don't know, I guess they're like the anti-Shield with their outfits or something, win. And I guess they're in line to take on the Usos, who look like gang members or something. Like, yes.
Right.
SmackDown's like all these stereotypes.
I just want to bring this point up to you, okay? Just you know, and I don't want to, like, you know, have this looking like I'm co-signing you not liking SmackDown, but I just want to – because, you know, facts are facts, okay? Here we go.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got to remember that the very first inaugural SmackDown Tag Team Champions were Heath Slater and Rhino, right? Which is, you know, that's hard to believe in and of itself.
Right.
Now, and I forget who they beat. They was in a tournament. Did they beat the American Alpha? Okay, they beat American Alpha to win the titles, right? But
I think so.
So why is that saying that Breezango is out of the realm of possibly being able to beat the Usos or whatever, who, you know, because the Usos beat American Alpha to win the titles. You know what I mean? So, you know.
Right. Well, okay, for me, the way they built up the Heath Slater Rhino thing, no one, you know, like, not anybody thinks Rhino's this star, but he does, you know, just his size, and he does have a pedigree. Right. But they built up Heath Slater so perfectly. You know what I mean? This dude just motivated to get a job, to get right. And, you know, he's like taking on Brock Lesnar. He's doing whatever he has to do. And he keeps getting so close. So he's motivated. I got kids, you know, I got to feed them. You know, so I think the average person could relate to that. Right. And they could feel it, you know. And so when you finally saw him go over, it was, you know, I think, just kind of like for the everyman that he did this. And it, you know, there's some humor built in it too. Right.
I thought it was cool.
Yeah. So
We talked earlier about, you know, people chasing the title. And then once they got it, they become stale. I think, like the Usos, I mean, they come out, this new promo style they got. I don't know how I feel about it. It ain't bad. I don't know exactly how I feel about it. But anyway.
What you think, Us? Right.
It ain't paranoid. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that.
You and your brother don't talk to each other like that.
It's weird. But can you imagine what these two idiots, Tyler and Fandango, going to do once they become champions? Like, what they going to do to the title? What they going to make them look like?
How much fur they going to put on that?
You know what
I mean? My God. Oh, yeah. They going to look. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that is a very good point. I mean, they're gonna look as ridiculous as Cam Newton at a festival or something coming out with that thing.
But hold on, that's the second time you didn't. Oh,
I'm sorry.
My quarterback. Okay. So, and I know this is a wrestling show, but I'm just saying, I let you get away with it first.
Uh oh, we got some heat. What you gonna do, Oos? Oh, sorry. All right. All right, so I can't upset the enforcer, so I'm going to keep it moving. You know, Ric Flair never pissed off Arn Anderson, if you ever watched the old NWA shows. All right, Carmella versus, speaking of Usos, Naomi Uso, which unfortunately, I guess in a way, and Carmella had a match. The previously mentioned Ellsworth, who is his role now just like the manager for Carmella, I would tell you why I think it is
because, you know, that's supposed to be like a love thing for a minute, right? But then some stuff came out with Cass and all that stuff. So then the world kind of realized that, you know, that her and Cass were together and Cass spoke on it. So he, you know, so Ellsworth had to step back a little bit and not really, you know, press it. So now it's a weird situation like that now,
Okay, so, I got you. Like, in real life, everybody knew her and Cass were together, so it kind of killed this whole... He's trying to push up on her.
Right.
Angle they were going for. Gotcha. Okay.
Ellsworth should not be in the WWE. I'm sorry. It was fun.
I think there's way better ways they could be using him. You know what I mean? Like, instead of tying him to one character, why is he not, like, trying to do anything to keep a job? You know what I mean? Like, why is he not like, oh, I'll be the timekeeper. Oh, hey, Daniel Bryan, let me work as assistant general manager and, you know, screw something up, or, you know, to me, it seems like so many things you could do with him that would be way better than you just come out with the women's division. You know what I mean?
I'm a fan. I think there is a place in the WWE for a person like James Ellsworth. I just think, you know, they are definitely not using him correctly. Him in a heel role, I think, is amazing. But, you know, he should be with the dudes, though. He should be warming his way, starting stuff, and getting people beat up. And all. You know, he should be more like Enzo. You remember how Enzo was, you know, pushing up online, and he was doing all this crazy stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And he would always end up getting beat up, and his boy would have to come and save him all the time. You know, he should be doing something like that.
Right. Yeah, there's just so many other things they could be doing with him. You know, he could you know, be the ring announcer and screw up somebody's name and they get mad and that starts a feud, you know. There's so many other things I think they could do that would just be way more entertaining. And, you know, and I don't know, it just seems weird for Carmella to have muscle, but you're in this clique. You know, like, why do you need some muscle when Tamina never wrestles? She's not but muscle. I don't know.
Hey, but you see them girls Jack Ellsworth up all the time, man. They always try to get their hands on
us. And is Ellsworth wearing, like, it looks like the old Rock shirts from back when he was, you know, doing his corporate gimmick, you know, back in the day with the $5,000 shirts and all that stuff. Like, what is he wearing? All right, so let's see what else happened on SmackDown. Randy Orton versus Baron Corbin. So I got to ask, what's you guys' opinion of Baron Corbin as a SmackDown guys? I personally like Baron Corbin, but pretty much every podcast I listen to, nobody seems to like Baron Corbin. What are you guys' thoughts?
I like Baron Corbin. I think he needs work on the mic, but in the ring, the talent is definitely there. Definitely.
You know,
yeah,
I think he looks
vicious.
Yeah, you know, his mic skills need to be sharpened up. But I like what we get out of him on the mic, though, because it feels real to me. Like, you know, the backstage stuff and the
good
stuff
point.
On Talking Smack, where, you know, he's pushing the referees around, him and Shane got into, like, it don't feel as scripted as like a big cast promo or whatever, because he sounded like a robot to me. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it's not, you can tell it's not perfect, you know. But physically, I think the WWE is like scared to take a chance on this guy. I think, you know, definitely need to get in the gym. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I think that he got the potential to do some real. I mean, I can see him, you know, being in the U.S. title picture or something like that. But, you know, he some things he got to work out. You know, and there's a lot of raw talent there. You know.
Yeah, I mean, because he looks like, you know, this big bad biker dude, right? He, you know, he doesn't have the gym muscles, but he looks like just a big badass biker dude, you know. And he definitely, you know, does some vicious stuff from time to time. And then when he does the thing, you know, he picks his head up and flips all his hair back. You know, definitely looks like he means business. I'm trying to get a couple of former wrestlers on the show for interviews. And so one of the questions I definitely want to have is, do wrestlers like pour a bottle of water over themselves right before they walk out? And if so, why? You know, it seems like their hair is always wet. You know,
well, I can answer that question for you. I that's a simple one. You know, as a wrestling guy, I thought you would know this. Now, you remember back in a couple of years ago when The Rock was facing off with CM Punk or whatever, and they would come out, or it could have been John Cena, whoever he was facing a couple of years back. But sometimes he would come out and he would be all dry and they would just talk. And that's how you knew that it was not going to get physical, right? But when he come out and his shirt is wet, or, you know, he pour water on his head, it's to keep them from scratching each other. That's why they do it.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know.
Okay. Got you. Okay. Never. I just thought they were trying to, like, especially like the guys with longer hair, like trying to make their hair lay down better. So I couldn't figure
out.
Yeah,
the bald head guys do it too. Like, you so Samoa Joe okay. always wet. You know what I'm saying? Titus O'Neil always, they always be wet.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I guess it makes a lot of sense, right? Because, yeah, you know, especially like you're wrestling, you know, because they're wrestling, you know, 3, 4, 5 days a week. So, yeah, I guess you don't want to have all those scratches on you, especially in HD now, 4K.
Unless you go deaf, because, you know, I don't think really exposure is good, though, but still, you know.
Right. Yeah, because, and if you don't have like back in the 80s, you know, a lot of them had those bangs to cover where they cut themselves. All right, so let's get to it. The big pay-per-view coming up this weekend, SmackDown pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I guess we'll go into some predictions, man. So Kevin Owens, of course, taking on AJ Styles. Who do you guys think comes out the champion of the United States?
Wow, I'm going to let Charles go first. That's a tough one for me.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Owens, because they seem to have so much gear based around him being the new face of America that I don't think they're going to just drop this gimmick that fast.
Well, you know what? I understand the gimmick, but ain't nobody buying that merch. I'm just going to be real with you, right?
It's probably popular in Canada, I'm guessing. I don't know. New face of America being a connect.
I'm gonna go with Kevin Owens just because, you know, I'm a huge Kevin Owens fan. Personally, I would like to see him, you know, keep that title and not have it change hands. You know, the title is like getting somewhere right now, and the last thing we need is a title that's just gonna continue to jump hands to hands. I think AJ Styles wins it eventually, but right now it's still Kevin Owens' show.
I was just thinking about it when I was listening to you say that. I was just thinking about it, and I'm like, man, I don't know how AJ Styles would look with that title. You know, I'm so used to seeing him with, you know, like the WWE title. It don't look right. And besides, they got a good thing with this gimmick with Owens. And if he didn't have a title, what would he do? You know what I mean? So I don't think this one will be over, though. I think that Styles and Owens are going to continue to elevate that belt, though, for a little while longer. So they'll probably have a couple more matches after this one.
Yeah, you're probably right. And maybe all this was just to get AJ Styles back to being a baby face, you know, going against Owens, and they'll transition to something else. I guess the thing we haven't talked about, which seems to be the main thing they're pushing on the pay-per-view, is Shinsuke Nakamura's debut against Dolph, the ever-charismatic Dolph Ziggler. Sarcastically, who do you guys have for that one?
Well, I think Dolph's whole job right now is to really bring Nakamura into the mainstream. That's his job. So, which means is that he's going to lose this match. But everybody who knows Dolph can go in that ring, and I think him and matching up with Nakamura is the perfect match. If they're going to bring Nakamura into SmackDown, that's the guy you put him up against, you know, and I think it's going to be a hell of a match. Unfortunately, Dolph going to lose because you kind of got to get everybody to get Nakamura back to the status that he had when he left NXT. You know what I mean? Because you got to understand, Nakamura is a former IGWP champion. He's used to holding the big titles. Okay, you know, so okay. He ain't gonna be playing around in the undercard that long.
All right.
I feel bad for Ziggler, man, because it's one of those situations where, you know, I love Hill Ziggler. It's just, there's no way he wins this match. And it's one of those, you know, unfortunate things about the WWE. When you have so much talent, you know, sometimes you got to put other guys over. And like he was saying, there's no way Ziggler wins this match. I will be shocked. It's going to be a phenomenal match. It's going to be a great match. But Ziggler won't win it.
But, you know, I don't think it's that bad, though, because you know what? I hear people say stuff like what you just said about that they're sad for, you know, Ziggler. But, you know, some dudes, that's kind of their job. Like, Chris Jericho did this all for the last year or so, and he's been fantastic at it. Like, if he wasn't helping, I forget who he was beefing with on, you know, earlier before the brand split on SmackDown or whatever. But, you know, that's what he does. You know what I mean? He puts people over. And, you know, the thing that he did with Owens this year, come on, man. We knew that Jericho was going to lose at the end, right? But, you know, even when they were best friends, we knew what was going to happen. That's his job.
Festival of friendship.
And I definitely respect that. But my thing with Chris Jericho and Ziggler really haven't had a career like Chris Jericho yet. Chris Jericho accomplished everything. That's why he could go to WrestleMania and, you know, lose to Fandango. You know, Ziggler, not so much. You know, his career has been a whole bunch of what ifs and, you know, so many possibilities.
Yeah.
So I think that will be the biggest difference maker, in my opinion, because Ziggler, he has the talent. We all know this guy could talk, the guy could wrestle, the guy could do it all, but he's in that stuck role, in my opinion.
Yeah, but, you know, he's one of them guys that when the WWE needs him to step up, and you look, they'll throw the title on them at any given chance. They've done it two times already, just randomly when they ran into a little hole or whatever. Like, oh, Ziggler's our guy. He gonna help us out of this rut. So, you know, he's ready whenever they need him. But I think for the most part, his main job is to try to elevate. I mean, because, you know, that's how usually dudes who've been in there for more than 6 or 7 years, that's kind of the role they play. You know,
true. All right, so let's get to the women's match. Naomi, Charlotte, Becky Lynch versus the Welcoming Committee, which is the dumbest name ever, which is Natalya, Carmella, and Tamina with James Ellsworth. So I guess Tamina will actually be a combatant in a match, which I've never actually seen her in a match, I believe.
She does wrestle. She does, okay? But never in singles matches. She's always like on the apron and stuff, and she get tagged in like, you know, for a second or so. But she, you know, I don't know why they're protecting her so much, but she wrestles, man.
Okay. All right. I mean, you know, makes you think I could be a wrestler because, you know, I could pretty much do what I've seen her do. But I don't know. To me, with this match, I feel like somebody's going to turn on somebody because there's so many people involved. I just don't know who or what.
You think?
Not saying that women can't get along. Okay.
Listen, let me just drop a nugget on you real quick. Which pay-per-view was it? It was leading up to WrestleMania. I want to say it was a Royal Rumble. It was it Bayley? It was fighting Sasha or somebody for the title. And Charlotte just beat the crap out of him at the end of the match. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
I want to say that was a Royal Rumble. I want to say that's what it was. But, yeah, so, you know, look, as long as Charlotte is out there.
Fastlane, one or two, yeah.
Yeah, as long as Charlotte is out there. And even Becky is suspicious to me right now, too. You know what I'm saying? Charlotte and Becky are real suspicious. And I will keep my eye on both of those.
Good point. Yeah, because they both want that belt, right? Let's be honest. All right, so I guess
they're the only ones worthy, right? Is Carmella worthy? Is Tamina worthy? They not worthy, you know?
Well, so. I mean, if you think Brock Lesnar never defends the belt, imagine if somehow Tamina won it. I mean, you know, wrestle. She's either Brock Lesnar or the women's division, except she's there every week.
Oh, my God. You're ridiculous, man.
Okay. I'm gonna do a YouTube search, see if I can find her in an actual match, like on WWE TV. All right. So let's get to Sami Zayn versus Baron Corbin. So I know Sami is your favorite, Big Q. First, Baron Corbin, you know, who somebody needs to tell he's going bald quickly, so maybe time to
look, process. Man, what's the story here? That's what I want to know. Why do I need to care about this match?
I don't know. I mean, other than the fact that I think Sami Zayn can help Baron look good, you know, and will Corbin do something crazy like when he stuck when he stuck Ambrose under the forklift thing or something, you know, he's do something crazy violent that he snapped. That's really the only interesting thing. Of course, then you got Luke Harper and Eric Rowan. You got the natural Wyatt family connection there. So there is some connection. The Usos, Brizango.
Yeah.
And, of course, Randy Orton versus Jinder Mahal. So I think somehow Jinder wins the belt, and I don't know if it's Rusev inadvertently interfering or the Singh brothers. You know, at this point, I wouldn't be shocked if somehow Bray Wyatt makes the ring do something weird and it freaks Randy Orton out and he gets pinned. You know, I don't know. Because
either way, if Jinder Mahal walks out of there with that title, he ain't going to do it clean. We know that for sure. Right. So,
No. I mean, nothing he's done has been clean. But, and I know we talk about coming out of nowhere, but it's almost genius. The more I think about it, it's almost genius the way they brought this guy to nowhere because he doesn't look like anybody else on the roster. You know, he has a look that's going to naturally put the mainstream American against him. Right. And, you know, he's embracing that. His little crew, you know, they all look like they're from the same place.
Except they're not. Except the Singh brothers are actually probably from India.
You know, yeah, and Jinder Mahal's Canadian. Right, yeah. Right. You know, so I think it just creates this aura, this, you know, the anti-American message. He comes out and says stuff in his native language, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I think just adds to the hate that it'll create. And then for him to beat the all-American guy, Randy Orton, right? You know, the guy next door look, you know.
Personally, which I Randy think it's, Orton, more interest, it's more interest going forward with Jinder walking out with the title than Randy
no
Orton.
Because
what is Randy going to do? Yeah, what is he going to do? What are he going to do when next Tuesday come around? He going to come out and pose and not say much and RKO somebody and then go back to – I mean, what is he going to do? You know?
Good point. And I don't know. I guess, like, you're right. There's so many avenues you could go if gender takes the belt. Or even if you have something controversial where it's, you know, we're not sure who the champion is, right? But gender left with the belt or something like that. You know, you could get a few weeks of storylines, right? You know, and get Shane McMahon a little more TV time. You know, if he's trying to clear up some ambiguities or something, or, you know, who knows? Rusev may come back. It may turn into a three-way match and Rusev walks out the champ. Then you have Jinder and Rusev go at it. I don't know. I hope Jinder doesn't just drop totally down the card once all this is over. But I do have Pwn to pick with Randy Orton. All right, Randy spent all that time in the Wyatt family, and, you know, he barely grew a beard. Now he's not the Wyatt family, and looks like he's starting to grow a beard. Hey, what's up with that, Randy? Come on, man.
He learned how to make his eyes glow, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, gosh. how could Bray Wyatt not see this coming? The dude wouldn't even grow a beard. Come on. He didn't even dress like y'all. You should have known he wasn't down with the crew. You know what I mean?
I mean, even Daniel Bryan had a beard, right?
Right. Like, you don't join. Yeah, you don't join the Crips and keep rocking red. You know what I'm saying? Like, they would know you're not down with us. You know, like, come on. But anyway.
One question, though. You know, Rusev was talking about, you know, getting a title shot at Money in the Bank. And it made me think, is Money in the Bank, is it cross-promotional or is it a SmackDown show? Because I would hate for the Money in the Bank briefcase to only be on SmackDown. That'd be kind of boring. So I'm kind of confused on that.
The short thing would be to make it cross promotional, right? Because then you could just have somebody surprise and pop up on, like, oh my God, Jinder Mahal is on Raw, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, I would hope that they would make it like one of those SummerSlam, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania type events where it's like not just an exclusive for one brand. Cause that would not make any sense.
I know, it would be kind of sad. But, you know, they didn't really put no clarification on it. It was just, Rusev was talking about it, and I was like, oh, so it must be a SmackDown thing. But I don't know, you know, but we'll see.
Yeah, I would think you got to, either you're going to have two briefcases, or you've got to have, you know, that ability, because that could be an easy way to switch somebody to the other show, right? Have them cash in on the other show. And it would be surprising.
Well, they didn't.
You know.
The last brand split they had. Now I remember when Damian Sandow won it or whatever. There were two. It was a red case and a blue case. You know what I mean? I do remember that distinctly.
Yeah, I could see either way, but I definitely like the idea of having that one that, you know, and the person come in. Because you could even do an angle out of it, right? Like, let's just say somebody on Raw wins it. They cash in on somebody on SmackDown, surprise them, take the belt. Person on SmackDown complains, that's not legal. They're not even on this brand. How can they do that? You know, and then you have that whole angle going back and forth.
But ain't no way in the world I would cash in my Money in the Bank for no Universal title. That title means nothing. You know
well, first off, it's probably going to be hard to cash in at Brock Lesnar's farm. Or wherever he is, you know. I mean, you know, it might be hard to do, you know.
Well, if you met Hardy, you could do it. Matt Hardy shows up anyway. All he needs is
with a camera crew, right?
No, what's the little drone's name? Vanguard One. All he needs is Vanguard One.
Okay,
he can go anywhere he wants to.
Yeah, it looked like Vanguard One been bringing the Hardys some burgers or something, because they're dudes definitely a lot thicker than when they left WWE. Anyway, let's get to wrapping this thing up. I do appreciate everybody listening. Big thanks to Big Q, Rablo, man. You guys definitely make this enjoyable. Been a great time. So what are you guys looking forward to most this week in the world of wrestling?
Well, I mean, definitely looking forward to Backlash. That's going to be cool. I want to see the fallout from Ring of Honor this Friday. I want to see, Kenny Omega decided not to show up to the arena to throw out Adam Cole. He did it via the Jumbotron. So, you know, it's a changing of the guard on Ring of Honor. So I want to see how the Bullet Club responds with the replacement of Marty Scurll. So that's going to be dope. And also TNA, man, you know, I want to see EC3 is on a rampage right now. And it's interesting stuff. So, you know, and I think that's tonight. I think, you know, or tomorrow night. I can't, you know, no, NXT is tonight. Mm. Yes, I got wrestling every day of the week. So I'm just saying, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm with you. All right, what about you, Roblo? What's got you pumped up for the week, man?
I'm just ready to see what goes on Backlash, honestly. A lot of different matches, different, a unique one, of course, with Jinder and Randy. I'm ready to see how that one ends, and I'm just excited, you know, to see the Backlash for SmackDown after Backlash. So,
gotcha.
I forgot about NXT TakeOver Chicago on Saturday.
That's right.
That's going to be awesome.
That's right, yeah.
You know what?
Yeah, because they're doing a pre-show and everything for it. Like, it's getting a full pay-per-view treatment.
And that's a perfect place for Adam Cole to show up because Bobby Roode showed up there. And I forgot who else. The dude who was the leader of Sanity. He showed up, you know, there. So, we might see Adam Cole in the crowd. So, you know, so it's a good weekend of wrestling going to be coming up this weekend. So it's going to be good.
Good point. And hey, and I'm excited. I'm ready to order my Jinder Mahal Championship T-shirt, the Mahara. Make it happen, Vince. Come on. Come on, Vince, Triple H. Put that belt on Jinder. Let's make this thing happen. But anyway, man, you guys have a great week. Thanks for listening. Make sure you interact with us on Twitter and keep tuned in. And we're going to keep answering questions and eventually bring you guys on the show once we get all the technology worked out. All right. Have a good week, everybody.